This is Radio Influence.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher!
Okay, welcome to the show, everybody. Another episode of Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell. The con man is here behind the glass keeping us on track. We're your weekly source for performance information. And if you're trying to get better or be the best at whatever it is you're doing, you're in the right place. And today, one of my favorite shows as the NHL season kicks off, we're going to have a look at what to watch in the NHL. We're going to go through a list of teams and players to watch this season. It's something we do at the start of every season, or we try to do at the start of every competitive season. And it's a ton of fun. And we have a cool Crush twist on this. We're not necessarily looking at who's going to win, but there's so many epic storylines in every single sport, so many things to watch. And of course, the implications and what we can learn go well beyond sport air, or it can be applied at any level of sport. So it's going to be a big one. If you look at to the start of the MLB season, my list of things to watch in the MLB season actually went very, very well. My number one thing to watch were the Cubs, of course. And that doesn't seem like a stretch in any way, shape, or form. We weren't watching them just to see if they could win. We were watching for a number of reasons. Joe Maddon being my number one reason, leadership and the power of leadership. And Joe Maddon is an absolute critical part of turning that organization around, right along with Theo Epstein. We also had the Kansas City Royals on our MLB list at the start of the Major League Baseball season, and we were watching them for a number of reasons. Dayton Moore, the GM, is an outstanding baseball man, and he turned that organization around and, of course, taking them deep into the playoffs for a number of years and to a World Series. So we wanted to see how they would fare, and they didn't fare so well this year. And there's things to be learned there. We watched the Jays, of course, and I'm wearing my Jay honorary fleece today as they depart the playoffs. But what a great run for the Blue Jays. And we're not only going to watch them during the season, we're also going to follow them closely this offseason because I think we're going to see some pretty dramatic changes there. But just to give you an idea of how unscripted and unpredictable sport is the real reality television. It is unpredictable. It's unscripted. And for the most part, you know, you don't know what's going on. And just to give you an idea, and because we follow baseball fairly closely on this show, the Cleveland Indians weren't anywhere on our radar at the start of the Major League Baseball season. And I don't know if we just missed it because there really wasn't a lot going on. They never struck me as a team that was going to be a team to watch this year. Yet here they are, eliminating the Blue Jays and heading into the World Series. This is a team that started off the season and surprised people after the first month, surprised people in the first half, and the talk was overachievement. Into the second half, they became legitimate. Into the playoffs, they are outstanding. And they're the only team in the playoffs in the bottom half of team payrolls as well. That's a discussion for later in the month as the World Series winds up. But there's some interesting things going on in Major League Baseball that I think need to be addressed. So in honor of our topic today, what to watch in sport, and today's the NHL, the question of the day, something to think about here, something to contemplate. What do you think is the most important factor in determining organizational success? What do you think are those things that we see inside of winning organizations? You could look beyond sport. You could look at the great schools. You could look at, you know, the great institutions in your community or globally. You could look at businesses, but certainly in sport. Sport is so measurable. That's why we like to look at it so much. You could probably talk about things like talent, maybe a culture or environment, depth in a team roster, perhaps their developmental systems. You certainly, I think, have to consider coaching. Ownership, we know, is incredibly important. GM, what do you think? You know, maybe you could put a couple things together. It's up to you. But the question is, what do you think are the most important factors in determining organizational success? Connor, you're a big fan of sport, and the NFL, I know, is probably one of your real you know, loved sports, top sports for you. But if I were to ask you in terms of just organizational success, would you throw in any ideas? Anything come to mind for you?
Yeah, for me, it starts at the top with ownership. The owners that are kind of considered to be jokes in sports, teams tend to be that same way. And not to knock Al Davis of the Oakland Raiders,
yep.
But towards the end of his life, his teams weren't very good. And, you know, he had his hands on the team and selecting who they picked in the draft. And it just didn't work. Coaches were being fired so fast. They weren't giving any time to develop and have their players grow underneath of them. So I think for me, it's definitely ownership. The Rooney family in Pittsburgh, Robert Kraft with the New England Patriots. I think you can look in all the ownership. Steinbrenner, the
Yankees. Yeah, it comes right to mind.
The ownership, it starts there. Those guys, they have the right mix of maybe knowing when to jump in there and make changes and when to sit out and let the guys that they pay make decisions to run the franchise.
Sure, look at John Henry in Boston. I think, is it Liverpool or Arsenal? I think Liverpool he owns, right? Is it Liverpool or Arsenal? One of the big soccer teams as well. But if you look at the owners, Connor, isn't it interesting? Most of these guys, and there are community group ownership groups, but all these guys are incredibly successful businessmen who buy these sports franchises and run them either as hobbies or as legitimate businesses. But you can see how some of them really take their business acumen and how they run their businesses. And that's how they run their or demand that their sporting organizations are run.
Yeah, it is Liverpool that he owns.
Yeah, Liverpool. That's what I thought.
But yeah, I mean, I think they just have a great knowledge or just have kind of a sixth sense of who to put in the right position and when to let them do their thing and when to jump in and say, no, this isn't working. You've got to make that change. And, you know, just going back to the football with the Rooney family in Pittsburgh, they've had three coaches in the last 35 years. I mean, there's some things that just work perfectly. And I don't know how these guys actually have the skill to do it, but it's just something they pick up. And I don't think it changes in business either.
No.
You know when to play around with things. And when things are going good, you just don't change it.
You can look at some of the successful businesses out there. You could look like Gillette, Walgreens. You could look at Apple. You could look at Microsoft. These guys are running those organizations. You know, there's so many parallels between sport and business and success in general. And that's one of the reasons we do this. Look, hey, later in the show, we're going to talk with Al Mitchell about my top pick and my number one team to watch in the NHL this year. And later in the show, we had a very interesting email this week. And we're going to answer that question. And it was pretty interesting because it came across the line and I'm going, huh, okay, interesting. It went like this. Crusher, listen to the show and podcast all the time. If you had a team or given a team, what would be your formula for success? And I thought that was a very interesting question. And I'm going to answer that. I'm going to lay out if somebody came to me and said, hey, Jeff, here's a team. You're in charge of performance. What are you going to do? All right. And so I'm going to lay out my plan, what I would do for an organization at the end of the show. But I take that approach to developing our athletes or the teams or organizations we work with. And when we look at all the success in sport and all the cool things going on in sport, we try to really learn from that. So, you know, if we look at the NHL this year, let's get into it. The Crush top five things to watch in the NHL this year. And if you have a list, let us know. You can text us. You can email us for sure. But Connor, right off the top of your head, would there be anything right now as the NHL season gets underway, anything you're looking at? I'm talking the long haul here, not a flash in the pan, but anything you're looking at this season that's of interest or that you're paying attention to?
Yeah, absolutely. Two off the top of the head and one right in Edmonton here. How can a 19-year-old captain run a franchise? He's a guy that I've lobbied for. I thought he should have been the captain. I don't know why they waited so long. They could have done it at the end of last year. I think he's got the ability. But we're only, four games in and people have already questioned him due to the fact that they changed a practice day by 2 days. So people are already saying, oh, this is a coach taking advantage of a young captain. I don't see it that way, but that people are going to run with that. My other one will be Auston Matthews in Toronto.
Mm, got it.
A little bit younger than Connor McDavid, but playing in the mecca of hockey, the center of the universe, and the pressure that kid has on him. The way he went out there and started with a 4-goal game was absolutely amazing. Can he continue? And what will his leadership role be as he gets a little bit older? Does he get the C next year? I mean, does that happen that fast for him? Can he handle the media? Because as big as it is in Edmonton and as scrutinized as you are, it's even bigger in Toronto.
It is. I've been there.
So you have a guy who played pro last year. Can he, use that to try to learn some things? Probably dealt with some media over across the pond. that's another thing I'm going to be looking out for.
Yeah. You know, Toronto is a very interesting environment. You know, and I had done, of course, I ran the Blue Jays organization there from the strength and conditioning standpoint for a good number of years. And the cool thing about a multi-sport city like that is you get to know the guys in the other team. So, you know, we get to know the guys on the Leafs. We get to know the guys on the Raptors. And it was fantastic because we would get together and exchange war stories. But you get to see how these other sporting organizations run and these other great cultures operate. But that is one of the toughest media cities that I can imagine. You know, you hear about New York, you hear about L.A., but trust me, Toronto is hard. For hockey, Edmonton, just because the hockey knowledge in these Canadian cities is so great, you're right, Edmonton's an interesting one. Well, my number five pick, my top five here this year, my number five pick is Montreal. And so I picked Montreal, Connor, to see if they can rebound. I mean, if you look at last year, it was an okay start, but they had the worst record in hockey from December on last year. And, you know, they made plenty of moves. I want to see how they operate post PK Subban. You know, there's still that lingering. And let me tell you what, if there's a healthy Carey Price, I have a question for you. What on earth does that look like?
I think if there's a healthy Carey Price last year, PK Subban doesn't get traded. I think, you know, the things that might upset people aren't that big of a deal when you win, but when they lose, those can kind of wear and grind on guys. And I think that was a huge difference for them.
Yeah, we know that Carey Price at the start of this season is a sick flu bug, I believe. But let me ask you this. Is Carey Price, healthy Carey Price, he's obviously the key to that franchise success this year. There's no question about that. I don't think anybody would argue that. But do you think he's a type of player that could reset the bar for goaltending performance in the NHL? I mean, he seems to me to be one of those generational goaltenders that could really reset the standard like a Gretzky or a Crosby or, you know, Gordie Howe or Bobby Orr did. He seems to me to be one of those players if everything comes together.
Well, yeah, when he was healthy, they were at the top of the league, and you saw how terrible they were as soon as he went down. I don't know, and is it just the on-the-ice stuff? Does it get into the guys' heads a little bit, like, oh, we got to grip the stick a little tighter, play a little stronger defense, we don't have Carey back there anymore? Yeah, I think so. In my opinion, he's the best goalie in the league, and yep, the rest are a couple of levels below.
Yep, and everybody's shooting for that, so he's going to set the bar. So you're listening to Crush Performance. We're going through our top five things to watch in the NHL season this year as the league gets underway. Number five on our list is Montreal. And of course, we're watching Carey Price with interest. Number four is not a team. It's a team by default, but I'm watching Sidney Crosby. Not just because of what happened early this season, because he's awesome to watch, but we're going to watch Sidney Crosby. And by default, we're going to watch the Penguins. Of course, they're the defending champions. But number one, we're going to watch Crosby for health reasons. We had the concussion issue early in the season, and we want him to be healthy, and we just want to see them handle this right. You know, Connor, I think the way that Pittsburgh handled his initial big concussion scenario really recalibrated the entire sporting industry right down to the grassroots. It really raised the eyebrows as to how serious the head injuries can be and how they should be handled. You had the world's best hockey player, and they did a really good job, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I think it's been kind of interesting to see in the media. We had Pierre Maguire on the show on Friday night, and he thought, you know, he came out there, skated on the ice, hoisted the Stanley Cup in their opening ceremony, and looked okay. But you can't gauge it just off that. I mean,
no,
the ability to skate around in a circle holding the cup, I mean, I think it's a crazy misconception to think, oh, it's not that bad.
No,
he did that.
Yeah, do you remember when he was first injured, had the first head injury, he said something that was very profound. He says, I can't explain it. I can't explain how it feels. I'm just not right.
And there was a very similar case with Jarrett Stoll when, yep, he had a concussion in Edmonton. Of course, he's not Sidney Crosby. He's not going to get the national headlines. But it was just, I think it was a four-month injury, and he just didn't know. Like, he just didn't feel right.
Yeah. So we're watching Sidney Crosby. We wanted to be healthy, and for a good reason. He's going to break 1,000 points this year, and he's going to do it super quick. He's going to do it under 800 games, which puts him in an elite group. There's only 14 players in the history of the game that have reached 1,000 points inside of 800 career games. And there's only 83 in history that have got 1,000 points. So we want Sidney to be healthy, and he's going to be fun to watch if he is. If you look at Wayne Gretzky, Gretzky hit 1,000 points in 424 games. Connor, that's not even human. And not only that, Gretzky put up another 1,000 points in his next 433 games. but that's 99. That's a whole other realm. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. But there's a number of players to watch on the 1,000-point mark this year. You look at the brothers, the Sedin brothers. Henrik's at 970. Daniel's at 942. Shane Doan is 55 points away from 1,000 points. We're watching all those guys with interest. That's going to be something to celebrate this year. This is going to be an epic year for hockey. Connor, I'm going to say one word, one name to you, and I just want you to tell me what first comes to your mind.
All right.
Jágr. What comes to mind?
Mullet. Ageless.
Fantastic. Hey, and he should have a mullet. He was born. Go to their roster. Go to the team roster and look at the birth dates. 1972, he was born, for crying out loud. Hey, he was the leading scorer on that team last year at 44 years of age. And I'm telling you what, he is going to be fun to watch this year. And, you know, if you look at where he's at, all right, he's going to play, if he's healthy this year, okay, he needs 22 points to pass Messier to be the second leading scorer in the history of the NHL. Do you understand that? 22 points. And he's going to do that in short order. And
he left the NHL for a couple of years.
Well, he played. Yeah, he played in Russia.
Suffered, and there was a lockout.
And
yeah,
there was a lockout as well. So think about Jágr, for crying out loud. And not only this, he's like the Cal Ripken of hockey, for crying out loud. He is going to play his 1,653rd game on December 2nd if he's healthy and plays every game. Think about Jágr. Is that not something you want to watch this year? I tell you what, these are the guys, these are the players I'm going to watch this year.
Yeah, just to see how long he can keep doing it for. It's really remarkable to think that when I was a kid, I watched him and what I've done in my life, and he's still playing hockey.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is. It's fascinating to watch, and there's something interesting going on in sport. We'll continue this discussion after the break and after we talk to Al Mitchell. He's coming up. We're looking at the Crush top five things to watch this year in the NHL. Number five for me, Montreal. Number four, Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. We have a bunch of 1,000-point candidates this year. Number three is Young Guns. We'll talk about that after the break. The young players in the NHL, we're seeing something very interesting going on. We're seeing younger players coming in and impacting the game. And we're also seeing older players like Jágr continuing to play and impacting the game. Very interesting phenomenon. We're going to talk about the Arizona Coyotes and why we're watching them. And of course, our number one team to watch this year in the NHL is the Edmonton Oilers. We're going to talk with Al Mitchell from the Lowdown on TSN 1260 in Edmonton after this on Crush Performance about our number one team to watch in the NHL right after this. Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kreshel, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Yes, do exactly that. Crushperformance.com. We're there to hook you up to the world of performance. You can get our Twitter feed at Jeff Crush. And if you are on Facebook, hey, go to our group. It's called The Talent Grid. And we're just building a fantastic community there. And we're just talking performance. Today, we are talking performance in the NHL, the top five things to watch in the NHL. It's been an interesting discussion. Number five for Crush Performance is Montreal Canadiens. Of course, Carey Price is in that conversation. Number four is Sidney Crosby. And by default, the Penguins. And of course, number three, we're going to get to later. Number two, Arizona Coyotes. And number one, the Edmonton Oilers, for a number of reasons. And joining us now to get a little insight into the Edmonton Oilers is the host of the Lowdown, Low Tide, Alan Mitchell, joins us. Al, thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Hey, no problem, man. I love being on. I listen all the time, and it's great to be a guest.
Well, listen, thank you so much. You know, Al, we watch these teams at the start of every season. We look at the top things we want to watch over the course of the season, and it's not necessarily about who's going to win or who's not going to win, but it's interesting storylines. You know, our MLB lineup looked like the Cubs, and the reason we watched the Cubs was to really see the power of Joe Maddon and the magic of Theo Epstein. You know, we watched the Kansas City Royals to see if they could defend, but also to look at how Dayton Moore, the GM, has really rebuilt that organization from the inside out. So there's a lot of different things that go on. Our question of the day, Al, is what do you think are the most important factors in determining organizational success? We're talking sport here, but this can go well beyond sport. You know, we've had things like talent, culture, depth, ownership thrown out. But if I were to ask you that question, what do you think are the some of the most important factors in determining organizational success? Is there anything that would come to mind?
Yeah, the number one thing for me, and it doesn't really matter what sport, I've followed baseball and hockey more closely than other sports, but it's procurement. Procurement of talent, amateur talent through the draft and free agency and you know, college signings, say, in hockey. And when you're signing a free agent or making a trade, getting not necessarily robbing the other team, but getting really good value if you're giving up talent. And teams that do it very well, there are, you know, one thing I learned about when I, you know, followed Major League Baseball for many years is sometimes I think as fans we really get involved with, oh, they've drafted, you know, these five players and they're going to be really good. But some teams just they just sign really good free agents and make astute trades. Calgary did that for many years. They were terrible at the draft table, but they were really good at, you know, trading Joe Nieuwendyk for Jerome Iginla. So the procurement side can be amateur or at the pro level, but it has to be really good because the you often draft a bunch of players that you like and they develop. But even if they do, you're going to have weaknesses. Eventually, you're going to have to cash those guys in. So getting value in trades or through free agency is a big deal. But the procurement side, amateur and pro, at any team that you look at that has success, they're doing a really good job at one or another or both.
Yeah, I agree. We're talking with Al Mitchell, host of The Lowdown on TSN 1260 Edmonton. Al, our top five list started off like this. Number five, we're watching Montreal. You know, they had the worst record in December to the end of the season last year. We're watching to see what a healthy Carey Price might do for an organization. I think we got that underway. We're watching Sidney Crosby, one, to see if he can stay healthy. It's really, really important. We want him to get to the 1,000-point mark, and he will do that very quickly in his career, and it's going to be fun to watch. Number three, I want to discuss this with you before we work our way down to our number one, but there's an interesting thing going on in sport right now. And again, you mentioned multiple sports. We're seeing it in hockey here as well. We're seeing younger players, I believe, come in and impact teams.
Yeah.
On the other end, we just talked about Jaromír Jágr and the fact that he, at 44 years of age, was the top scorer on his team. And you look at his stats, it's crazy. We're seeing unbelievable performance later in careers, but we're also seeing these young kids being really prepared, talking about procurement.
The speed in hockey is incredible. I mean, I've gone to games for many years, and if you're sitting down close to the ice level, it is phenomenal how fast these guys are. We have Connor McDavid here in Edmonton. He's the ultimate example, I guess. But, you know, Philadelphia just added two, I think they're both teenagers from the 2015 draft, Travis Konechny and Ivan Provorov. And Konechny, I mean, he looks like a junior player, but he's got 3 points in now three games. And the reason, I think it's 4 points in three games. The reason is he's very fast, and it's hard for veteran defensemen to catch him. Los Angeles had a heck of a time with him and the other fast flyers. You can see it with Toronto, too. Their three best players are all their young rookies because they're really fast. And if you look at the players on defense who are being healthy scratched in the NHL in the first week, they're older guys. They're 30-year-old guys who maybe are a little bit slow. And younger players are taking their jobs, and it's been, I would say, since the expansion, the WHA folding in. The WHA was a very young league because they rated so many of the NHL teams of young players. It's been that long since we've seen this kind of influx, and it's all about speed.
Well, that was going to be my next question to you, Al. Can you remember seeing this many young players coming in and impacting and playing so well?
No. There's the first week of the year, I looked it up, there were 67 new players in the league. And that's about, you know, if you consider each team has 23 players and there's 30 teams, that's 690. So that there's about 10% of the entire league was rookies. And that was just who played in the first week. There are guys who didn't play in the first week. There are maybe on the you know, up in the press box, or maybe they had to be recalled due to injury. So you're probably dealing at 12 to 14% of the league that's rookies right off the hop. That will increase as the year goes by. So this is, and it's partly the cap, but I also think it's the style of play. It's such a fast league, and it's getting faster every year.
Yeah, and I can tell you right now, the way we're developing players before they get here is like nothing we've ever seen before. We're talking with Alan Mitchell, host of The Lowdown here on TSN 1260. Al, let's just go through a few names, okay? Max Domi, he's 21 years of age. You know, we talk about pressure on these young players. There's no pressure on these young guys. They're just playing great hockey. You have Jack Eichel, who's 19. Seth Jones is 21. Pavel Zakra, who's 19. Philip Forsberg is 22. Austin Matthews, 19 years of age. And the list goes on and on. But these are young, young players.
And they're playing in prominent roles, too. You know, you mentioned the Coyotes. Well, they have some good veterans, but these young kids are taking the jobs, and they're playing, up the depth chart. They're taking on a lot of, like, power play, usage, and it's because they're good, because they are highly skilled. The amount of skill that's come in, 2015 draft was huge, but the amount of skill that's come into the league in the last 3 or 4 years, a guy like Pavel Zacha in New Jersey, I watched him play last night, and you know, he was a basically a speedy guy with some skill, but he's a rugged type player. Well, I'm watching him last night, and this guy has terrific skill.
Oh.
And these are guys who you know, I think he was a seventh or eighth overall pick. It wasn't like he was a number one pick.
Yeah, you're right. And it's changing the game, Al. I mean, we're only into the first week, but there has been some goals, and it is an offensive game right now. It's fun to watch.
It is. And it's also, there's a lot of attrition too. Like, I'm astounded at how many injuries are happening, and there it seems as though it's to really big parts of the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Carey Price maybe not necessarily an injury, but that's huge for them. Montreal, I thought they did some pretty good things in the offseason. I like the Radulov addition. I was a huge fan for them of the Subban trade, although I do think the coach would prefer a steadier defender like Weber. But you know, not having Carey Price, that's a big part of their season, and it does seem like there are teams around the NHL with some pretty substantial injuries, and that's going to have a big impact.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Al Mitchell, host of The Low Tide on TSN 1260 right here. We're going through the crush list of the top five things to watch this NHL season. Number five was Montreal Canadiens, Carey Price there, Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. Of course, a good number of players who are on the brink of 1,000 points. The young guns we just talked about. My number two thing to watch this year, Al, in the NHL is an interesting one, I think. And I think a lot of people might go, what are you talking about? But the Arizona Coyotes, man, I'm telling you, the Coyotes. And for one reason, they have the youngest GM in the history of sport. That is the main reason I'm watching this team. I'm really interested with this.
They're also, they're heavily into analytics, and they're drafting really well.
Yep.
They drafted a kid named Jacob Chychrun, who was like, they actually traded up. They made a goofy trade with, actually a brilliant trade now, but an unusual trade with Detroit, where they took on the contract of Pavel Datsyuk, and it was just basically a money transfer. But they traded up and they got another pick, and they moved up in the first round, and they ended up getting Chychrun. Now Chychrun is a defenseman. Teenage defensemen rarely, make the NHL, although there are a few this year, but rarely play at a specific level. But he looks great. And that's just good scouting, and that gets back to procurement, because if he ends up being able to play in the NHL at 18, imagine what he's going to do at 21.
Yeah, you're right. And John Shaka, who is the new GM, hired when he's 26 years of age, he's an analytical guy. He actually, before he got involved in hockey, started an analytical company that broke down, all the numbers for players. And they were consulting with teams, and that's how he got in with Arizona. That's how he became assistant GM and moved up to the GM. So it's interesting. You know, we talk about numbers, Al. We talk about all the Corsi numbers and all the statistical and analytical data. It is just a part. It's just a part of identifying talent and also, working towards being successful in sport. I wonder if we're not getting to a point where we're putting too much emphasis on the numbers.
It probably, at some point in time, I think what I've learned, and I'm not an expert, like I read the numbers, but I don't read the numbers the way you would need to make expensive bets, and that's what teams are making with these draft picks and these trades. But I think the numbers are, for me, there hasn't been a huge leap in the value of the numbers. I still think the possession numbers we were dealing with 4 or 5 years ago really do give you an idea. The reading of the numbers, though, the sussing out and finding out what they're telling you, that's where you team should spend their money. You know, the GM in Arizona being an example, find somebody who knows what the numbers are telling, like really can dig down and not just find the surface stuff that everybody else is looking at,
right,
but find the really good information, what it means. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, Montreal would win a lot of Stanley Cups, and I could never figure out why Bobby Hull would win the goal-scoring championship and Stan Mikita would win the point championship. But one of the reasons that Montreal would win the Stanley Cup is that they had better depth. They had three good lines,
yes,
where Chicago maybe had two or even one sometimes. So they could, you know, they had a tendency to be able to, you know, rest their players more, play them less, and that is a big benefit. We know that now in a big way, but back in 1970, I think the Habs were the only team that knew it.
Yeah, I think so. We're talking with Al Mitchell, host of The Lowdown, right here on TSN 1260. Al, our number one team to watch in the Crush list of the top five things, and there's 100 things we could watch, but we narrowed it down to our top five that we're most interested in. Number one is the Edmonton Oilers, and it's not because we're in the backyard here. It's because this is a fascinating experiment, an example of performance in sport. Listen, we have the youngest captain in sport history, which we need to talk about. We have the Hall trade, which we need to talk about. I really like Todd McLellan, the coach. I think, you know, when it comes to organizational performance, it comes from the top down, as Connor said earlier. And the GM and the coach really do set that tone along with the ownership. The influence of the new building. And you know what? Now there is pressure to time to go. So where do we start? Let's start with Connor McDavid. I mean, the youngest captain in sport history, and boy, oh boy, he's been a treat to watch.
He really has. You know what's funny is you know, I have a tendency to be biased. I'm in the market. And I sort of waited to, because I thought late last year when he came back, you know, he had really by that time emerged as one of the, he was certainly the most fun player to watch, but I think he had great impact too. And I was really impressed by a lot of national media, not just local media, saying, you know, he might already be the best player in the NHL. Because that's a very difficult statement to make unless it's, you know, pretty much true. You know, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Patrick Kane, you know, Connor McDavid is already at that level. I mean, it's almost insane to think about, but in watching him, he is, you know, I think he's faster this year.
I think he is, and you know what, he's only going to mature and get faster, and I think, you know, he's going to adapt to the speed of the game. I think he already has adapted. Yep. What am I even saying? I'm crying out loud. He may be a guy that, again, like a Gretzky or a Sidney Crosby or an Ovechkin, he might be one of those guys that recalibrates the game a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think that you can kind of feel the tension and the build, just like in the old days. You know,
yeah,
he scored 6 points in two games. He hasn't gotten any points in the last couple of games. You know, you just sort of, I feel it anyway. Like, there's an excitement. Now, you go to the rink tomorrow night. They're playing St. Louis, a really good team. St. Louis just lost out in Vancouver. They're probably going to be, you know, pretty upset about that. But you know, McDavid is a special player, and I don't know how you defend that. He is so fast that I think if you think you're even, you've already lost with this guy. And I think Edmonton Oilers fans have a right to be excited every time they go to the rink.
Sure.
And Connor McDavid is the lead dog there. He's an amazing hockey player.
Sure. Peter Chiarelli, Todd McLellan, they've surrounded him with some pretty solid talent as well.
Yeah, the difficult summer, I think, was this one, the trading of Taylor Hall.
Yes.
for Adam Larson, who, by the way, has been very impressive to me. I think he's really done a nice job. That's the kind of, sometimes you have to lose the battle to win the war, and we'll see. It was a risky deal, but they wanted a guy who they could get who could play defense, play 22, 24 minutes a night, have some offense, but also, you know, I think he makes $4.2 million, so he's a really good contract. He looks good with Klefbom. The second pairing is more mature. There's Sekera with the defender that they just they just signed. So for me, anyway, I look at this team and I think they're better defensively. I like their goaltender Cam Talbot.
Yep.
They brought in Lucic to replace Taylor Hall. Chris Russell.
Chris Russell, right?
Yeah, they brought in Lucic to replace Hall on the top line. They still have some work to do. You know, the Nuge and Pouliot line isn't working great, but there's time now. You're off to a 3-1 start to the year. It's not like you're 0-4-0 like a year ago. The problem the Oilers have always had is their starts have been so bad that you can't recover because, you know, NHL GMs, if they're calling around looking for something and they're already 0-4-0, then you don't get a really sweet offer. They know you're coming, sort of thing. So this is, for me, this is an opportunity, I hope, for fans to really enjoy the, whether you make the playoffs or not, but really enjoy the year. Maybe you go on the 8th of December to the game and you're still in a playoff spot. Well, that'll be new for Oilers fans. And you know, Peter Chiarelli's made some risky plays. Todd McClellan's job is to make them go. I think he had to make a deal, Jeff, because if you came back with the same team and couldn't play defense again, then you got a real problem.
No, I'm with you, Al, for sure. Hey, a couple minutes left. Okay. I agree with everything you said. There were talk with Al Mitchell, host of The Lowdown here on TSN 1260. Al, you know, again, we talk about where does it come from. You know, consistency in coaching and staff and even in player personnel is really, really important if you're going to build success, which is very difficult in this day and age. We know that. But the ownership is rock solid. How about this new building? What is the influence this is going to have? This is an exciting place to show up to every single day.
Well, I think we've seen it. I think Lucic, Drake Caggiula, Matt Benning, you know, I'll tell you, I went into the building. I was legitimately shocked. Everybody said it was great. It's beyond what people told me. It is incredible. It is such a nice building. And I, you know, the people who were took part in building it, you know, they're part of this community too. There's a lot of pride in that building, and I think Edmontonians are proud of that building, and I'm sure the Oilers are proud to play there, and I bet they end up getting some really good free agents because of McDavid and the building.
Yes, and I agree. Al, the Oilers are our number one team to watch this year for a number of reasons. Last thing, really quickly,
yep.
I have one word for you, Ovechkin. Go.
Yes. You want me to talk about Alex Ovechkin?
Hey, listen, just a couple comments. Listen, he's the third player in history to have 7 or more 50-goal seasons. I mean, this guy, again, honorable mention in our list. There's no doubt about it. We have to mention him.
Oh, yeah, and also he's – look at those total shots on goal total every year. I think he's led every year but one, Jeff. You know, you don't score unless you shoot the puck. Ovechkin's at 398 every year. 398, Jeff, in this era is like 700 back in the 70s. He is a machine. He shoots the puck every, you know, 30 seconds. He's amazing. And he's been doing it for a decade, and he's still at a very high level.
There's a lot to learn by watching these guys, Al. Alan Mitchell, listen, we're way over our time, but we could go on forever. I really, really appreciate the conversation.
I love it, Jeff. Thanks, man.
Okay, awesome. Hey, there's Alan Mitchell from the Low Tide, from the Lowdown on TSN 1260. Hey, when we come back, I am going to answer a email question that came in earlier this week, and it went down something like this. Crusher, if you had a team, if you were given a team, what would be your formula for success? It's very interesting. I'm going to lay it out right after this on Crush Performance.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We've got something for everybody. National sports radio talents such as the fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. And the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. New shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. Entertainment shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander, and shows that'll make you think, like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger.
We've got you covered.
You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance. Yes, crushperformance.com. You can get all our hookups there. Twitter at Jeff Crush. And if you are on Facebook, our group is called The Talent Grid. Apply. Get in there. It's a lot of fun. So today we are looking at the Crush top five things to watch in the NHL as the season cracks down. And it goes well beyond who's winning or who's losing. There's a lot of great storylines inside of every single sport. Hockey, of course, is no exception. And there are some interesting things going on within each team, but also in the sport in general. We're seeing a lot of younger players coming in and impacting the game at very young ages. But we're also seeing on the other end, you know, players going deeper and deeper into their careers and still having great performances. You look at the Sedin brothers or Jagr, Shane Doan. There's a lot of players, Ovechkin, a lot of players who are getting up there but still really, really dominating the game. And I think that has a lot to do with the way we're preparing athletes and the way we're managing them, not just game to game and not just season to season, but over the course of their careers. And there's a lot of reasons for that. So earlier this week, going through our emails, I had an interesting email that came in, and I wanted to address it today because I thought it was a great question. And, you know, sort of in lieu of our topic today, which is the top five teams and players to watch in the NHL, this bit right into it. Our question of the day: what do you think is the most important factor in determining organizational success? Connor, the con man, mentioned ownership and consistency. Al Mitchell, the host of The Lowdown here on TSN 1260, talked to us about the Oilers, and he talked about player procurement and depth, which is incredibly important. The email we had earlier this week was interesting. It read like this: Crusher, listen to the show and the podcast all the time. Love it. If you had a team, if you were given a team, what would be your formula for success? And I thought that was a great question. And I wanted to address it because there's lots and lots of ways you can do this. And there's a lot of variables that you need to take into consideration. But there are also incredibly powerful fundamentals that you need to address. And listen, this stuff goes well, well beyond sport. In my time with the Blue Jays, building that organization, I was one of the first strength coaches with the Blue Jays. And it was fun to build that. To work in professional sports, there's no other environment. There's not a better environment to truly test your ability and your skill. And building that organization, the strength and conditioning side, the athlete development side, was a ton of fun early on. I had an opportunity to work in professional hockey, had a chance to work for agents, and in professional football as well. It doesn't matter what sport you're involved in. And it's interesting, when you look at a lot of the research on human performance or even organizational performance, a lot of the data and studies goes back to sports. Yes, there is a real solid body of work that looks at things like music and chess and even the culinary arts. What makes a great chef? And you try to reverse engineer that and understand, you know, from that and pass it on and teach it to new up and coming, you know, phenom and talents. But there are fundamentals when it comes to organizational development. So when this email came in asking what would be my formula for success, if I was given a team, this is kind of how it would break down. The first thing I would address is the culture and environment. Don't think that that just is something that happens and is out of your control. It is totally within your control. And if you don't have the right culture or environment for what you want to accomplish, you cannot succeed. And as Connor mentioned earlier, that comes from the top down. It really does. Every single successful organization operates like a spinal cord. It comes from the top down. If you don't have powerful standards and expectations from the top, you cannot be successful at the bottom. Here's how an organization has to work. The people at the top, the ownership, the management, the administration, they're there to help the organization succeed. The people who are on the ground, the employees, the players, the coaches, the mentors, the managers, they're the people that make it happen. And here's what's interesting about successful organizations. The people who are on the ground, the people making it happen, the players, the coaches, the employees, the managers, they hold upper management and ownership as accountable as ownership and upper management holds them accountable. It goes both ways. It's not a one-way street. So, you know, it doesn't mean the facilities. When we talk about culture and environment, it doesn't mean having the best facilities or the best equipment. It certainly means time. And, you know, we see evidence of this greatness, you know, from team to team, from organization to organization, but it's planned and it's orchestrated. There are deliberate attempts at creating success that can be perceived as greatness, but don't fool yourself. It doesn't just happen. I mean, take, for example, some of the great business cultures that are out there. And you really, if you're going to be successful in sport, I really encourage you to look at how some of the great businesses operate. You can look at businesses like Abbott Laboratories, Gillette, Walgreens, things like Microsoft, Google, Apple, Major League Baseball Advanced Media. That's a business within Major League Baseball, but it's one of the most successful media businesses on the planet. Don't ever fool yourself. You could look at some of the great sporting organizations, Real Madrid, the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Yankees. You'll see some interesting common trends inside of those organizations that you can learn from. And, you know, you can look at some of the great talent development programs on the planet. You can look at, you take Serbia's tennis program, for example. This little program is a rundown, beat up little club that has produced more top 20 players than the entire country of the United States. The Korea Golf Academy, 40% of the LPGA's top women come from that program. So it's orchestrated. So here's what we do. We look at culture, and then we look at athletes, the athletes that you can procure, the athletes that are in your organization, and you address them individually. Then you look at selection and context, you screen them, and then you look at competition variables, and then you get into the fundamentals, sleep, rest and recovery, nutrition, posture, and movement. And this is a show within itself, and we're going to address it in upcoming shows. So great email. I thank you for that. And there's a lot to think about there. And that's why we do our Crush Top 10, Top 5 to watch. So I got to thank Al Mitchell. Thank the con man for coming on. And thank you for listening. Next week, we continue the conversation on performance, and we'll talk to you then.
Radio Influence brings you the best in digital media broadcasting. When it comes to sports, we've got experts like national sports radio host Rich Herrera, the fabulous sports babe, former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy, and former Bellator matchmaker Sam Kaplan. Want a good laugh? Then go on the beach with Pants and Roller Girl, or just LOL with Nancy Alexander. And when it comes to real life, Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger and Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill will make you think. When it comes to what you want, Radio Influence has you covered. Find our programming on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.